and Kathy Dawes with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear. And lots more to talk about yet. I know we got through the basic portion of the agenda. Still have the consent agenda, a lot of infrastructure type items there. And I'll let you go for it, Ron.
Several different construction infrastructure items on the consent agenda. Kind of go through those. The first one being Claflin Road and College Avenue. We've talked a little bit about that. We're doing some traffic signal improvements there. The action is to concur with a KDOT grant of $200,897 as a project award, and then the city share of that is $100,000. And so this is to create some additional protected turning lanes up on College at Claflin. Another item is to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute a professional services agreement with Olson Associates in the amount of $122,544. And this is an outcome of a work session we had with the commission recently on the stormwater rate study and the need to really do detailed analysis on establishing that residential unit analysis. So it creates a commercial classification based on different residential units and commercial unit analysis. And that the work product of that will help determine what the stormwater rate classification program is. It will look like in its final form that we'll revisit later this fall. Another item is going to be a big project this summer. Denison Avenue, we have some older lines in that particular area and some smaller lines in that particular area. When the comprehensive plan was updated and allowed for more high density to go to the west of the university as well as the east of the university, we pointed out that we would need to upgrade some of our infrastructure along that area to provide adequate service there. And so this is to install a 12-inch main from Anderson Avenue all the way to Claflin Avenue. So a big stretch there. That road's been kind of rough, and we've not improved that road because we knew this water line project was coming. So we'll be tearing it up. The water line is underneath the road, and so we'll be adding that and then a complete mill and overlay of that roadway. So when the students come back next fall, hopefully we'll be done in time. They'll have new water lines and a new roadway. We're also completely replacing the concrete at the intersection of Denison and Claflin, which has had some joint failure components there. So that'll be a big improvement. The contract award there is $862,939 to J&K Contracting out of Junction City. Also, we're getting into our annual street maintenance program. Obviously, I appreciate the word you put out on the new sales tax that went into effect April 1st this past weekend for the new funds for street maintenance. This is really the old commitment that we were continuing to make. And so we have street panel projects that will occur continuing up in the Blue Hills, the Blue Stems Terrace, Ivy Drive, that area, also out in some of the Berry Streets, award a contract in the amount of $268,657,000. To Van Nahum Construction here in Manhattan. Also, we're going to be extending and widening a left-hand turn lane for eastbound Anderson Avenue at Bluemont, making that a little bit longer, and that portion is $102,325. In addition, we have our annual street maintenance asphalt project, and this will be an award to Schilling Construction in the amount of $271,371.40. This is several different areas where we're looking at that, primarily in conjunction with the Anderson project out west. This will be another piece of Anderson from basically Hudson to Winsong. Also, in addition to that overlay on Denison Avenue, there'll be some up on Grandmere Parkway, the northern half of that, and several other areas around the community. There's also some new pavement marking, contracted pavement marking on Bluemont Avenue between 4th and 11, also on East Points, and also on K-18 from Westwood down to the downtown area. Some new pavement markings, especially down there around the depot where it has faded out pretty bad. There's also a small bike boulevard project in conjunction with that. We have some well rehabilitation projects. This is to focus on three of our water wells, well 20, 23, and 25. Contract with Lane Christensen Company in the amount of $44,745. This is something we do annually, go in and upgrade those wells, clean them out, overhaul some of the pumps and the engine components, change some valves, just a good overhaul and maintenance to make sure that they're in good shape and producing the water that we're anticipating needing them to pump. Also, we have a hydrant, fire hydrant, and water valve replacement program. Similarly, we do identify different fire hydrants that are in need of repair or replacement, and also some water valves that have stuck and are old and need to be replaced. Got a bid in the amount of $70,400 for the base bid and $39,500 with Joss Conant Excavation of Manhattan. That'll be several different projects on different areas and parts of the town. And then we also have an agreement with the downtown farmers market. They're getting ready to kick off a new season, scheduled, I think, to start around April 15th. So coming up pretty soon. This is, again, going back to that area down at the Manhattan Town Center. They're at the Dillard's, west of the Dillard's building itself in that parking lot. And so this is a formal improvement of allowing them to use that parking lot for that purpose.
Very good. Looking at the Manhattan Urban Area Planning Board, kind of a light agenda, it kind of looks like.
They did. It's kind of one of those meetings where primarily their focus was really to focus on the annual review of the comprehensive plan. And so there was just some various review of the action items. Actually, this Aggieville plan was an action item within that component. We've been working on this uniform development ordinance, the urban core area. All three of those were action items that the comprehensive plan recommended implementing. So several different aspects as a result of that. I do know that they would like to really have a summary review of what all of those action items that we're continuing to work on with them. And I think they had some inputs on some just affordable housing typically comes up as a concern and what we're doing with that. And so, you know, obviously that's something that we try to focus on. It's a challenge, but we've been trying to create some tax credit apartment units. And I know the Community Housing and Development Group has really tried to focus on creating some affordable housing opportunities in their aspects of things. I think that was about it for the planning board. Work session next week. The Parks and Rec Advisory Board met yesterday afternoon, and that's really their work. Yesterday will be the focus of the work session next week, and specifically they're looking at the final report for the feasibility study that's been looking at various improvements needed in the community and prioritizing those. Those would be the proposed indoor improvements at both of the middle schools, expanding some more indoor gymnasium multi-use space at those particular areas. Also improvements at Seco Park with tennis courts and the ball diamonds there, as well as trails throughout areas that are connecting to those areas and other parts of the community. They had some funding strategies, talked about how you might improve that, and so they also reviewed a draft question for consideration to put before the voters this fall. And don't know how exactly that discussion went last night, but those recommendations will all be made to the City Commission this next week at the work session. The concept about the draft question would be that we currently have a 0.25% sales tax that goes for that was approved by the voters that went to aquatic facility improvements at City Park Pool, Seco Pool, and Northview Pool, and those are near paying off. They should pay off this year. And then another component of that was the Zoo Education Center, and so There's likely to be some additional funds left over after that question or after that is completed. It can run a full 10 years, but most of the improvements that were originally planned for have been done, and so there's some recommendations on how to use some of those remaining funds for their intended purpose at the zoo, some other improvements at the zoo. And then the idea would be to, call that question to end early and then ask the voters to kind of approve this one in its place. So it's not necessarily an exact continuance of the current 0.25% for quality of life, but that's kind of the concept.
Well, and I know, I guess we can get into some different projects that are going on in town, and I know that we had alluded to the Diamond Interchange a bit earlier. I don't know if we want to go back to that.
Sure, we can certainly do that. So April 5th, this is a KDOT regulated project. Obviously, K-18 is and K-113 are both state highways. The city's a partner in all of that, but a funding partner, but they've got primary control of the contractor and the different setups there. But they coordinate with us very well, and so there's a lot of changes that need to happen. And so I think you've been reading if you've driven that area, you've seen the board indicating that you're going to have some lane restrictions as they're set to really focus on kind of building the western half of some of the new roadways in this first phase. Probably one of the big challenges and interruptions of traffic will be the closing of the very south end of Seth Child at Allison Road. So you won't be able to access Allison from Seth Child, and you won't be able to turn off of Allison onto Seth Child. So you'll either have to go back up to Davis Drive to the west to that interchange, or you'll have to go down to Rosencutter Road down just to the east of this at the traffic signal to come back and access Allison Road. And that'll be that way for quite a while as they'll have all of the ramps will still be accessible. They'll be somewhat restricted as they'll be developing some additional lanes on of those ramps, both the on-ramp going westbound and also the off-ramp of K-18 going eastbound will have some activity. But all the ramps will be open, but the main roadway itself will be crunched down to just two lanes, where today that's four lane with turning lanes. And so it would may be helpful for you to find an alternate route if you're used to going kind of to the downtown area or points east. Via that route, you might want to consider taking Anderson or Kimball and coming in a different direction if you can.
Well, as usual, when it's something new like this, I did have to pull up our Facebook page. And there have been some fairly negative comments.
Yep.
You know, one person saying, is there any way we can petition this? I've been through the one over in JC, and it's a joke. I mean, that's just one person's viewpoint, obviously. And another described it as a headache in the making. But, I mean, you've talked about this for quite some time.
So. We have, and it is a change. You know, it's a shift, much like when we first started to encounter some roundabouts. You know, it's not something that you're used to. It's not something that you see diagrams of in your testing booklet when you take your driver's test. Matter of fact, on these, you're going to be able to go left on a red light, you know, after a stop. And you can do that today on a one-way road, and so those ramps are one way. And so it's not something that you think about a lot. And so you'll have to pay attention. But I think after you've used them a few times, you'll find them to be much more convenient and much more efficient in moving that traffic and safer from that aspect. But it is a bit of a paradigm shift to get used to it. And that's seems to be the case whenever you have a significant change in design and something you're used to driving with from time to time.
And when at the very beginning of the program, we talked about some of the reasoning with that left turn, you know, becoming
right.
more difficult and backing traffic up during certain times of the day, all the way back to the law enforcement
right.
building and past.
Through the other interchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the primary aspect. Also, the other heavy movement is the exit off of K-18 onto Seth Child. So that's another area that has seen for the eastbound traffic is another component. The mayor mentioned spring cleanup.
Yes.
I think it's going well. Obviously, the rain could impact that a little bit. It's something we're focusing on all week this week. Today, they're focusing on the northeast part of town, out here in the area by the radio station. And so they're working with that. Tomorrow, they'll focus on the north-central portion of the community. Thursday's scheduled for the northwest portion of the community, and Friday, the southwest portion of the community. So you need to, again, we're picking up tree limbs or brush, and you need to have those in a separate pile, not tied together. That just creates more work. So they need to be cut in sizes that a person could conveniently handle. And then if you have grass clippings or leaves that you've raked out of your beds, those can go in the paper recyclable bags that you can get at many places in the community and stacked at a different spot, because a different crew will pick those and take those all to the landfill where the mulch material will be made, and you can go out and get mulch. So,
Dave?
I have a question on
sure.
Hayes Drive between McCall and Casement Road. I'm seeing a lot of flags along there, like they're marking utility lines. Is there some work that's going to be coming along on Hayes Drive?
There is. Actually, it'll be kind of west of Hayes Drive specifically. We've got a grant to connect and build a bike path, basically, from Hayes and Casement near there, all the way kind of uses our levee, the levee system and some of the drainage. There was a maintenance road that goes back to those ponds that are in conjunction with the water plant, and will come out over by IHOP and Hostetler Road, that area, and connect
really?
With McCall. So part of that project, too, will create a pedestrian crossing across McCall, across TCB at McCall, over to 3rd Street there. So it's a grant project we were awarded, and so I'm guessing that's probably what that's for.
Well, and I know, of course, we've been talking about the construction on Knox Lane between Casement and Northeast Park Street, but that's different.
That's a different project,
mm-hmm.
Yep. That's another
Lots of work
one that's
going
getting
on
started.
This area.
So, yep, spring's here. You're going to see a lot more some more flags and orange cones, and sure want people to drive safe.
Well, thank you again, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear. Of course, a bit earlier we had Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy. You've been listening to In Focus.
And tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus, it's Education Day, at least the first half. USD 383 School Board Member Kurt Herman and Superintendent of Schools Marvin Wade will be joining Andrew Shores with the program. And then at 9:30, our conversation shifts to the Manhattan and Convention and Visitors Bureau. We'll be visiting with Director Karen Hibbard tomorrow morning. That's In Focus. Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, The Game, and K-State Baseball on K-Man Today.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of Manhattan encourages you to keep your business in the community. KMAN.